Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting from the, for the video portion of our show, we have two Secret Service special agents in charge, two SACs, and for our Leos that work for federal agencies, you know what a SAC is, and that sounds like it could almost mean a lot of different things. But anyhow, we have Rich Scarapoli. Thanks for being on the show, Rich. And I like the tagline on your name, King in the North. And then we've got Frank Leverage as well. Is there a story behind that? Come on, Rich. You got to tell me.
Somebody's got to lay claim to the title and take Brooklyn back from Commie Mandami. So it's going to be me.
Okay. I absolutely love it. And Frank, thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. We have Gulls at Gulls.com, our title sponsor, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We've got GunLearn.com, on Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now during the live show. And we've also got TwoBells.com that built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check it out. You can get like the shirt that I'm wearing there, and you don't pay anything extra for it. You know, it's bare bones pricing. We don't make a dime off of it. We're just trying to get our gear out there into the hands of people. So thanks in advance for checking that out. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. We also have Ray Diedrich carrying us at FormerLawman.com and Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? Guys, we got a couple update stories. And yeah, the first one, we got the dynamic duo. And for this one, Cash Patel gets testy with Brett Baer, of all people, on Fox. Baer is pressing Cash about the Trump assassination attempt details. They want to have more details. And I'm a detail guy when it comes to it, but I understand that there's just stuff that we just don't need to know, but we'll talk about that. Then we got DHS, Department of Homeland Security. They're pulling 700 federal officers from Minnesota after an unprecedented cooperation with the state. Now, it depends on what side is telling the story, because this is MSN. And I agree that normally pretty liberal, but you know, you'll see somewhere where Trump and the DHS, they bow down to the libs who want them out of, you know, Minneapolis. And then you see statements from Holman saying, hey, we've got unprecedented cooperation. So that's why we're out of there. We're taking 700, but we're leaving, you know, 1,000 or more there. Then we got Ryan Ruth gets, and I don't normally give the names of bad guys, but for the purposes of this story, and this is the final chapter on the sentencing, our Ryan Ruth attempted Trump assassin, he gets a life sentence for the assassination attempt. And then we got body cam showing a man fatally shot by deputy serving child porn warrant in Miami-Dade. There's a lot to talk about. Then we got a video shows O'Fallon police officer fatally shooting a knife-wielding suspect after two people get stabbed, and ICE agents chase down. And I can't believe this is still going on, guys. And an ICE agent chases down another illegal alien. This guy's a sex predator after another judge lets a bad guy walk out the back door so they can't get a hold of him. This is crazy. Then NYPD body cam video shows a cop shooting a mentally ill Queens man, charging at him with a knife. And then lastly, Jacksonville police officers fatally shoot a domestic violence suspect when he pulls out a gun. So if you guys are ready, let's take the Cash Patel one first, and then we'll take the Minneapolis one. But the LibertyDaily.com, and that is thanks to Rich for hooking me up with the Real Clear Politics and all the sources they have. So Cash Patel gets testy as Brett Baer presses him about the Trump assassination attempt details. And this was on Tuesday on Fox News when, of course, Fox News anchor Brett Baer, we love Brett, he pressed Cash Patel on what the public still does not know about the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, I don't fault Brett for asking the questions, but he didn't want to let it go though. So Thomas Matthew Crooks, the full name, of course, all bad guys have three names, we know, of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. He opened fire at President Trump's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania back in July of 2024. So think about that, guys. That's been about, a year and a half. Secret Service agents killed him after an attack that left at least one attendee dead and forced Trump off the stage. And during Patel's interview on Special Report with Brett Baer, Baer said Americans still lack a clear, comprehensive picture of the shooter, and he asked why key details are still not public. Now, Baer said, I don't think we, the public, have a more robust picture of that shooter. And I think that's an unfair supposition, is what Cash Patel responded. He said, we at the FBI have put out all the information that we possibly and legally can while protecting any ongoing matters that are unrelated. And he goes on to say, he's very much dead, which we know. But at the same time, Brett, as we at the FBI have to follow the parameters of our investigation and what the law allows us to release. And he goes, I get it, but we... where are the cell phones? Why don't we know who he's talking to? What exactly happened is what Brett Baer asked. And then Cash responds, hey, we provided 40,000 pages of documents to Congress. That's a 400% increase from what the prior two directors did. We will continue to provide the information with our partners on Capitol Hill. When we are legally able, it's never going to be enough for everyone, which is absolutely true. It's never going to be enough. We're not saying trust us. We're saying we did an exhaustive search of that. We presented that information to the DOJ, and a decision was made on what to release. And Baer then continues to press him on whether federal investigators fully disclose what they knew about Crooks, prompting Patel to argue that the FBI releases information consistently. And it kind of goes back and forth after that. So I could keep going, but it's really the argument and the points are pretty much the same. There's this back and forth going on. And then they start talking about Crooks, registered a Republican, donated $15 to the Progressive Turnout Project through Act Blue in January. An anonymous source told the Daily Beast that agents accessed encrypted phone data and found his final search involved pornography and recent texts from his parents asking his whereabouts. And then it kind of goes on. There's other stuff about the Heritage Foundation, the Oversight Project, and other things talking about whether he acted alone at the Butler rally. And it just kind of goes on and on and on. Rich Derpoli, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, listen, there's plenty about Crooks and this other guy, Ruth, that I'd love to know about, you know, as well. But I think, you know, Cash Patel going into it with Brett Baer surely was briefed on generally on what the topic was going to be. And he should have been better prepared. Hey, just give one answer. Look, Brett, we're still part of an ongoing investigation. I'm simply not going to talk about these things. Let's move on. And I don't care how many different ways Brett Baer is going to ask it. That's the answer. There's no reason to get testy or come across as being, you know, overly aggressive to the point where it seems like you're hiding something. You're the director of the FBI. You simply go with the answer. Listen, what's out there is out there. You don't need to go into released 40,000 pages and I've interviewed 500 people. Nobody cares. Either you're going to release it or you're not. And his answer should have simply been, hey, I've said before, I am not prepared at this time to release any more information. And that's the end of the story. And it's simply like that. You know, there's enough members of the media that are incredibly anti-police and anti-federal agent. Certainly, that's not the case with Brett Baer. So no need to get testy or argumentative. Just keep it simple and move on to the next topic. So part of that, though, I blame the people who prep Cash when he's going on these shows, because we've seen this happen a number of times at some of the press conferences he's given. He's just not the most well versed in dealing with, you know, with the press one on one. But I got to support the guy. Listen, there's still a lot going on here. I would love to know every small detail. It's simply not going to happen at this point in time.
No, I got you, Frank.
Yeah, I think the first problem we have is going back to the right after the assassination attempt when you had Deputy Director of the FBI, Paula Bate, who came out and painted the picture of Thomas Matthew Crooks as being a Republican, anti-immigrant, immigration. But we know that after COVID in 2020, he did a 180 and started to then put anti-Trump posts out there. And got into certain sexual activity, this new phenomenon called furry, which I still don't 100% understand. But all this is going on, and it seems to me like the narrative just didn't fit, so it wasn't discussed. So transparency was a problem back then, and all we're asking for is a little more information. Look at the phones. He had two cell phones, encrypted applications. They went to Germany, Belgium, New Zealand. I mean, this is something that I think people want to know. Who was he talking to? Who was he talking to right up until the time that he actually attempted to assassinate former President Trump at the time? So this is the questions the American people have. And Brett kind of pushed him on it. I agree. Cash Patel has done a completely turnaround. He's done a great job at moving forward. And look at what we've already You know, the pipe bomber investigations have now moved forward. I mean, all these things are happening. So I'm very proud of what's going on with the FBI. But I have to agree with Richie. I don't think he was prepped for that interview. And when Brett pressed him, these are some of the things we wanted to know. And if you can't tell us it's an ongoing investigation. That's fine. We'll understand that. But I think it was not handled the way it should have been.
Okay. No,
all right. I agree with you, Frank. Listen, I'd love to have the answers to all those questions, especially about the cell phone. And you know, we can probably compile a list of 100 questions we want answered. But here's the guy. He's on Fox. You're sitting there with Brett Baer, who's a legitimate journalist, right? And he's giving you plenty of airtime. The answer just should have been, hey, I'm not going to tell you. That's it. Move on. How could you not expect he's going to keep pressing you on these questions?
Right. And that's his job. Right.
Right. Right.
It is. It is. Yeah, I get it. I know that some, you know, some people who have never been involved in investigations, and look, I know that what I've done, even though I've done some pretty substantial stuff, this is at a whole different level. We're talking about with the Secret Service and attempted assassination on a president and stuff. But I can appreciate that there. I mean, let's just say that there was maybe a foreign actor involved here. I can appreciate why maybe you don't want that information to get out. Timely, you're right. There may be some reasons why you would want to hold on to that or keep that close to your vest for an amount of time. But I see your point. It probably would have swallowed a lot easier, gone over a lot better. But he just realized that, look, yeah, there are things that I know that I simply can't tell you. And it would compromise things. And hopefully you can appreciate that. And I think that everybody would say, yeah, we want to know, but we understand, you know. So I get it. Good point. All good points, guys. Good commentary. We're 15 seconds out from first commercial break. Stick with us. We're talking about galls. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Secret Service Sacks, Frank Loveridge, and Rich Derapoli. So thanks for being on the show, guys. Appreciate it. We have been talking about Kash Patel appearing on Fox News with Brett Baer and being heavily, I just say heavily questioned, by Brett and pressed about more information being released about the Butler attempted assassination on Trump. So any more information on that, guys, before we go to Minneapolis? Rich?
Yeah, one thing I'd love to add is I think the key question I think I would have asked Cash, if you want to press him on anything, is tell me what the FBI has been doing in the year plus since the assassination attempt, right? I get you don't want to release any information, but is there even still an ongoing investigation? And what are you looking into? Right? Because I think that would quell a lot of the questions that the public's got. But again, it speaks to the preparation. You're the director of the FBI. You know you're going to be asked about at least one of these assassination attempts. Yeah. You've got to have a better answer than, I'm not telling you, Brett. And then Brett says, well, let me ask it this way. I'm not telling you, Brett. Well, let me ask it this way. You can't have that back and forth. He should have been able to shut that down or fend it off a little bit better. Yeah. But
that's a good point,
what are you going to do?
Go ahead, Frank.
No, I was just going to say the Tucker Carlson documentary that came out with all of the different social media was going on with Thomas Crooks. That gives people the appetite to learn more about what happened and who he was dealing with. So I think that was something that drove that a little bit. And you've got to realize your environment when you go into these interviews, and you have to be able to be prepared for these. And I just think he could have elaborate a little bit more on the investigation itself, without giving out the details.
Right.
That's a good point. You've got these other, well, let's face it, you know, the mainstream journalism is not what it once was, right? So there are these other entities, and Tucker, you know, a lot of people have a lot of, they're very inquisitive after listening to guys like Tucker, and Richard brought up a great point that, you know, his out. Cash Patel is out. Is that it's an active investigation. And that's all you have to say, because that justifies you not divulging, you know, more information that can compromise that. So that's a good point. I would have liked to have heard that too. So if you guys are ready to go to Minneapolis, we've got some stuff. I just touched on this yesterday on yesterday's show. Didn't get into it. We got a little bit more information about MSN.com. So DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they pull 700 federal officers from Minnesota after an unprecedented cooperation with the state, according to Tom Holman, our border czar. Now, I already, you know, prefaced this at the beginning of the show about it really depends on what source you're listening to, because you've still got Governor Tim Walz and Mayor Jacob Frey and I'm sure even Chief O'Hara that are saying, cooperate with them and they left and they put their tails between their legs and they're gone, right? But then you're getting the other side of the story too. So the Trump administration will pull, according to our article, remember this is MSN, 700 federal immigration officers from Minnesota as a result of cooperation from Democratic officials and turning over criminal illegal immigrants in jails. And this is what Tom Holman asked for, according to the White House border czar Tom Holman. Now, notice I said the state of Minnesota. I didn't say Minneapolis. I said the state. So they're pulling 700 officers or feds from the entire state, not just Minneapolis. Holman announced on Wednesday morning that him and his senior Homeland Security officials have made significant progress in discussions with Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey and other state and county officials. I have not seen those officials he's talking about mirror what he's saying. Effective immediately, we will draw down 700 people effective today, 700 law enforcement personnel. And that's what Holman said during the press conference. He said that the 700 federal officers leaving are a mixture of ICE, Customs and Border Patrol, and the Office of Field Operations, which I'm not really sure exactly who they are. Maybe you guys can answer that question. About 2,000 federal officers will actually remain in the state after downsizing. So 700 coming out statewide, 2,000 staying in. And he says that we currently have an unprecedented number of counties communicating with us now, and they're allowing ICE to take custody of illegal aliens before they hit the streets. Unprecedented cooperation. He's talking about the jails before they get released, which I agree. If that's really happening, wow. Now, Holman has asked Minnesota officials repeatedly to allow ICE to take custody of illegal immigrants in local and state jails rather than release them out into the public, which is what's been going on. The ability to apprehend people while in jail can be done with one or two ICE officers rather than having the 8 to 10 officers entering a community to arrest somebody. And then, of course, you know, the agitators that are now, it got so bad that they were roadblocking and stopping people and getting tags and personal identification information stuff. And then, you know, we were covering yesterday, Minneapolis police officers, when they finally were allowed to leave the freaking station, because, you know, they weren't going out unless there was an ICE shooting, then they wanted to go out and seize evidence so they could prosecute the ICE officer. But now they're going out telling people to move the blockades because emergency equipment like fire trucks and rescue can't get through. People refuse to, and the police officer walks away. No enforcement, anything. Just freaking embarrassing. So, guys, commentary on this one. Interesting. Rich?
I got to tell you, I am not a fan. I do not support pulling 7 people out, let alone 700. If anything, I'm sending 7,000 more in there, because the other side, the Tim Walz, Jacob Frey, chief knucklehead over there, is going to take the opportunity to claim victory. And I'm not giving them any opportunity to do that. And I've said this before on Fox and Newsmax, I would take every one of my people, because now my primary concern is safeguarding the backs of my ICE agents and my Border Patrol guys and making sure that these lunatics that are empowered by Walz and Frey and this police chief who's allowed them to set up these roadblocks. What are you kidding me? You're stopping cars in the street and the cops just stand there and don't do anything. My primary concern now has got to be the safety of the people I'm putting out there so that they can do their job effectively and safely. Pulling anybody out of there, look, I love Tom Holman, but I'm not quite sure what the rationale is behind that. This isn't a negotiation. You know, this isn't, we're not dealing with another foreign country. Right. The federal authorities, the schools I went to said federal law supersedes state and local authority. I'd send every one of my guys in there. I'd lock that entire town down until I locked up every one of these illegal aliens that are there, to include Walz and Frey, who I still can't believe haven't been put in handcuffs. So with that, Frank, it's all yours.
Well, there is actually an investigation going into their obstruction. So that is going on. DOJ is looking into that. But I just want to tell you, this was unfortunately a lot to do with public opinion. I think it started to shift after the Alex Pratty shooting, in which we're still, the jury's out on that one right now. We got to go to a commercial break. So,
hey, you're getting good. You're trying to take over my job. Look at that. Hey, we are coming up on our second commercial break, guys, but it's getting really interesting. Good commentary. When we come back, we'll talk about Trump's interview yesterday, where he said, I think Winnie can be a little bit softer, a little bit nicer. But second commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, we're time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, it's helped officers over 250,000 times. And guess how many injuries they've had? Zero. No injuries. That's right. They've achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to transitioning from a weapon or to a conductive energy weapon, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Let's go to Compliant Technologies today. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by two former Secret Service special agents in charge, Rich Derapoli and Frank Loveridge. We've been talking about Minneapolis and the aftermath. And I say the aftermath, I don't think for a second we are done with Minneapolis. I know that Tom Homan, our border czar, and we love Tom Homan. Talk about a freaking pit bull, sometimes in a China shop. That guy's tough, but they have withdrawn 700 federal agents out of the state of Minnesota. We're not talking about just strictly Minneapolis, but they've left 2,000 feds. They've left them in the state still, but we're talking about the optics. You know, Homan saying, hey, we're getting all this cooperation now. We don't have to send in this many people because we've got counties and stuff that are letting us grab these people from the jails instead of having to have a huge show of force to do so. Rich was bringing up a good point about, when the going gets tough, man, just have that use of force and just hammer them. We were making it very difficult on them. But then Frank Leverage brings up the point about public opinion. And, you know, there are a couple courts in this land. One's the legal court system and one's the court of public opinion. And if you're winning the court of public opinion, you can arguably sometimes that can be more important than the other way around. So, guys, I know we got some more to say about this. Rich, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you listen, I fully support Tom Homan. I think the guy's great. That number 700 didn't come out of the blue, right? So there's a reason he picked that number. So I don't mean to imply that he's acquiescing in any way. I just don't like the optics that it puts out there of us even pulling one guy out of there. But, you know, and you've done this before, I can do just as much with 700 fewer people if I deploy the people I have maybe differently or better. Or pick different objectives, but I just don't like making it seem like we're acquiescing to any of these liberal woke lunatics that are out there.
Well, yeah, Richie. Let me ask a question, Frank, for both you guys. Let's say that Homan's correct, even though the mayor and the governor aren't saying that this is going on. If they really are cooperating, maybe if they don't want to publicly say they are, but if they quietly are, say, look, yeah, we've had a couple people killed. I mean, granted, we've got the agitators that are. Most of them don't even live there, right? But so that's a bad situation because the police aren't taking care of it. So now the feds are having to take care of roadblocks and all this other kind of crap they shouldn't have to deal with. But if they really are cooperating, even if it's secretly, and they don't really need, you know, if the manpower, if they don't really need it, and it's creating more problems because now everybody knows that they're there and they're doing roadblocks that aren't being cleared and stuff. Would the answer really be the show of force still, you think, or would that be a plausible explanation or excuse for what he's doing?
So something had to occur there for Tom Homan to come out with that statement, right? So I don't know what transpired behind closed doors, but Tom Homan, he's not a stupid guy, right? There's no way he's just going to come out and say, I'm pulling 700 guys out without putting some thought into that whole thing. So, yeah, you know, maybe there is something going on behind the scenes. I like to think so.
Yeah.
But you can't have these people setting up these roadblocks. Frank and I talked about that, and Frank can talk about it much more articulately than I can.
Well, I was just going to say real quick that, first of all, I think there were some conversations between the mayor and the governor and Tom Homan, and there was some acquiescing going back and forth. I think the greatest advantage is to be able to go to the jails and be able to get these individuals while they're incarcerated. And that, of course, is going to cut down on the optics of what we're seeing in the streets where we're having to hunt these people down. So that's the first thing right there. So doing that, obviously, is a good move, not just for public opinion, but it's safety for the ICE officers as well. So I like to see that. But as far as the agitators go, they're going to still continue their efforts. They're still going to be out there. And I'm with you, Richie. I don't think we should draw down if we're still going to have to deal with protecting our ICE agents and the CBP while they try to do their jobs. So we got to think about that as well. But yeah, there were definitely some conversations that were done that acquiesced, and they had a compromise, and that's where we're at right now. And I think a lot of it was driven from the last shooting that occurred, the Alex Pratty shooting, which public opinion started to shift in a different direction. And let's face it, we need to make sure we continue these efforts so we don't need public opinion against us.
You know, if I have a feeling, Frank, if you were there in D.C. around this time, that there would be like hair fiber embedded in your grill, the front grill of your whatever you were driving, and you'd be an MS technician's nightmare.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this.
You're talking to the guy. I saw this guy put handcuffs on a woman in a wheelchair once in the middle of the street and transported her to court. The magistrate looked at us like we were Secret Service. We were completely out of our minds. But you know what? He was right.
First of all, they all look the same in the books, we used to say, right? When you look at the arrest stats, an arrest is an arrest. That's one for the good guys. She did the crime. She was going to do the time, and that's all there is to it. I can't help the fact that she was about 2 weeks away from her deathbed, but just happened to be that way.
She wasn't dead yet.
Nope, she was okay. Alive, and she counted as a federal stat. But honestly, Rich, when I did bring him in, bail was not a consideration. I think she was released on personal recognizance.
So
she never made it to the trial.
Was she a flight risk?
I don't think so. I don't know how fast she could go. If she was going downhill with that wheelchair, maybe. I think maybe. But no, it was not motorized, if that's what you're asking.
Wow. All right. Well, look.
Thanks for bringing that up.
As a perfect segue, no, it's not a story with a dude in a wheelchair or an old lady in a wheelchair, but we've got another interesting article, WSJ.com. So we've got Ryan Ruth gets life sentence in the Trump assassination attempt. And he criticized Trump. The article says threatened to kill Vladimir Putin. He's a nurse or was a nurse who encountered a nurse who encountered Ruth in Ukraine told the publication that in 2024 in a video that she reported his behavior to the U.S. authorities. And a 60-year-old Honolulu man, this guy was convicted last fall of attempting to assassinate President Trump in 2024 and sentenced Wednesday to life in prison. And prosecutors say that he plotted to kill Trump at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. And back in September of 2024, that's actually been a little while, about almost a year and a half ago when Trump was running for president. And you guys, we just made reference to that, in the one of the previous stories. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon also sentenced him to an additional 7 years in prison for other offenses related to the assassination plot. Now, he represented himself this is the most interesting part of the article. They say he represented himself during the trial. And you got to go through hoops to be allowed to even do that by a judge. And they've got to be, convinced of your, sanity, all that kind of stuff. And you've got to be doing somewhat of a decent job. But during the rambling opening statement, he told the jury that he never intended to kill Trump. U.S. Marshals said that he actually attempted to stab himself with a jail safe pen after he was found guilty and that he suffered no injury. So I guess he wasn't highly motivated to get it done. Any commentary on this life sentence on this guy, Frank?
Well, I'll tell you what, he committed premeditated murder. Or at least he attempted murder of the president of the United States, former president. Let's face it. Okay, we go back to the book that he self-published, where he gave permission to Iran to kill President Trump. You look at the Dear World letter that he wrote, in which he said that he was going to assassinate, or he was attempting assassination on Trump, and if he failed, he was going to give a $150,000 bounty to anyone else to carry on the details. We know from his cell phone analytics that he was out there 17 times, at least 17 times doing reconnaissance. And he had a sniper's nest all set to go, a weapon with a serial number that was filed down. And let's face it, if that Secret Service agent didn't spot him and President Trump, who was one hole behind, had made it to that hole, we would have had a different outcome and potentially a dead president. So all that being said, he can never see the light of day again, and he's got to be put away. And I do question his mental stability if we ever release this guy back on the street again, what he would do, looking at what he's done in Ukraine and where he's traveled and all the other things he's done on social media as well. This person needs to spend the rest of his life in jail. Richie, what do you think?
I totally agree with you. I'll pick up on the comment you made about the Ukraine. We're not quite sure how he ends up in the Ukraine, but this is a guy who's deemed too mentally unstable by the Ukrainians to allow him to be given a weapon and take up arms and go to fight against the Russians. So they put him on a plane and send him back. I mean, competency hearing, why? I think at this point, we're well beyond arguing whether or not this guy's a nut job and he belongs back out on the streets or not. This guy needs to be locked away, but he's trying to play, and his attorney's trying to play the old Hinckley defense, where let's get this guy minimal amounts of time with full rights to, you know, the commissary and TV privileges all day long. And eventually, you know, he may make himself the model prisoner and find himself back out on the streets again. But Frank is right. Had that Secret Service agent not spotted that weapon, whether he spotted it because it was purposely put through the fence or not, we don't know yet. But that would have changed the entire course of history. There's no doubt that he would have killed the president.
Absolutely. Wow.
And I believe his attorney was asking for 27 years, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that is scary. Scary.
He's 60 years of age, so 27 years. I mean, good luck.
Prison. Yeah. Well, guys, I know that we're less than 30 seconds out from our next commercial break. The next story, I'm going to go out of order, but it's okay with you. And I'd like to talk about the ICE agents having to chase down another illegal that a judge slides out the back door. Wow. Commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Secret Service special agents in charge, formerly Rich Gerapoli, Frank Loveridge. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Now, we've covered a lot of really interesting, fascinating stories. And of course, you know, sometimes I have to hold these stories before I get these guys on the show, right? I mean, they're so engaging, dynamic, and they're more importantly knowledgeable about this. But this is timely. This stuff just came out. I didn't have to hold on to it. It's just perfect timing. And if it's okay with you guys, we have this this next story. I'm not going to go. We got a video story coming up that's really pretty sensational. But before we get there, because this is close to home of what we've been talking about, RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, and they call it Red for a reason, if you guys are following my drift. ICE agents chase down illegal alien sex predator after judge lets him walk. Here we go. Federal immigration agents, but now we're in New York, right? So they're forced to pursue an illegal alien with a violent criminal history after a New York judge allowed him to leave a Manhattan courthouse despite having an active federal arrest warrant. And this is according to law enforcement sources, as reported by the New York Post. Now, the suspect, Geraldo Miguel Mora, he's 45 years old, arrested Thursday on shoplifting and possession of stolen property charges after allegedly stealing approximately $130 worth of merchandise from an H&M store in Midtown Manhattan. Now, the incident occurred the same day that he appeared in the Manhattan criminal court on a desk appearance ticket. He had previously been arrested back in January the 7th on the Upper West Side for possession of alleged crack cocaine. And, you know, a lot of these things don't matter whether it's, they say alleged crack cocaine, whether it's crack cocaine or butadiene, you know, fake or whatever, like it makes a difference, according to a criminal complaint. And that case is still pending. According to police sources, this guy has a violent criminal history. Not to get into it, But I did read a 21-year-old woman, he follows her to her residence, chokes her, and attempts to remove their clothing. This dude's a bad dude. Law enforcement indicated that he's deported following that arrest, remained out of law enforcement databases for more than a decade. And so he was deported, right? Then he resurfaces, come back to the U.S. in 2023. And who was president then? I can't remember. And then he's arrested for allegedly presenting false identification. Now, federal authorities later obtained a criminal arrest warrant for Moore under a provision of federal law, reentry of removed aliens. And ICE, they delivered the warrant to the Manhattan Criminal Court ahead of his appearance. And this is where all this stuff goes down. Despite the warrant being provided to the court, Judge, remember the name, Sheridan Jack Brown, allowed this illegal to leave the courthouse through where? The front door? No, through a rear exit, according to multiple law enforcement sources. The shoplifting charge itself was not bail eligible, but sources said that this federal warrant that we're talking about, it should have prompted this guy's transfer into ICE custody. Here's a quote. The warrant is actually put in a folder for the judge to use on the bench, and everything was sent over to him. Instead, this guy's released from the building back door, prompting ICE agents to pursue him outside the courthouse when they finally realized that this guy's been allowed to leave. They ultimately apprehend him. I mean, now he's in federal custody. They refused to hand him over, a federal source said, and they let him out the back to avoid ICE. It kind of goes on to talk about potential prosecution, deportation, or both. And the sanctuary policies prohibit cooperation with federal immigration agents. But we had an order, right? And then sources said federal authorities have recently encountered at least three other instances where stuff like this has happened. And federal prosecutors have previously pursued cases against judiciary accused of interfering like this. In Wisconsin, it was Judge Hannah Dugan convicted last year on felony, not misdemeanor, felony obstruction charges after assisting an illegal alien in evading ICE agents inside her courtroom back door. And she faces up to 5 years in prison. Man, I would love to see that again. Guys, 5.5 minutes, and hopefully we'll have time for the video story. Rich Derpoli.
Well, I got to ask, I don't see any difference between what this judge did and other judges have done than if you were a corrections officer and you open the door to the cell and allow these people to walk out. So I think two arrests should have been made here. One, the illegal alien, who is, in fact, a very bad guy. So no issue there. And then two, this judge. You know, what makes these judges think they can just do whatever they want? They're nothing more than a glorified bus driver, if you will, right? The guy's driving the bus. He goes from point A to point B. Same thing with the judge. He gets on the bench. You preside over what's going on. You leave the bench. Who the hell told you you can just make up laws and do whatever you want to do and assist people in escaping from in this case, federal justice? It's unacceptable, and it won't stop until we start locking some of these judges up. Fully in favor of that. I don't see any issue with that.
Love it.
Richie, I agree 100% with you. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? These judges now are allowing their prisoners to escape and to evade, basically apprehension by ICE. This is, I mean, we've got to help. We've already held one judge accountable in Wisconsin, and we've got to hold these judges accountable. We have jury nullification going on with the juries. Now we have judicial nullification, where they believe that they can impose their beliefs on the judicial system, and that's incorrect. We've got to tighten this up. You know as well as I do, we've served under presidents that we may or may not have been in line with their ideology, but it didn't change the way we did our jobs. We did our jobs 100%, no matter who the president was. We protected the office of the presidency. Well, these judges have to protect the laws that are in front of them, because they're there to interpret those laws and to give people a fair trial, not to release them out the back door so they can escape. This is absolutely ridiculous, and it should not happen in this
country. Yeah, well, I think that I'm sure the three of us are on the same page here. But the part of the problem is, look, the average member of the American public has no idea what a judge does, right? They see them as some beacon of justice. But the three of us have been around and have appeared in enough justices, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have, right, who are members of law enforcement. A lot of these judges should never even be in those positions to begin with. Are you kidding me? And you go to some of these municipal courthouses, and when these judges aren't doing their judge thing for 3 hours a week sitting on the bench, they're managing the local quick check, making sure the coffee dispensers are filled. And this is who we're relying on. It only gets worse as you go up the chain, up to where, look at the act we saw from Justice Ketanji Brown, right? Supreme Court Justice sitting there at the Grammys. This is unacceptable. If Antonin Scalia was still alive, he would have punched her right in the face. Right? But this is what you're seeing more and more from these judges. This is crazy.
Rich, you look at the decisions these judges make, and you can see who appointed them, and they usually align with that ideology. That's got to stop. They're there to call balls and strikes. They're not there to implement their ideology into the decision-making process of when someone is guilty or not guilty, based on the elements of a crime. So we've got to get back to the basics, and we've got to start interpreting the law and not legislating like they do from the bench.
No, you're totally right. This rogue justice that we're starting to see more and more common throughout the judiciary is not a misnomer. That's exactly what's going on here. When you're helping somebody escape, you know what? You're going to find yourself wearing the silver bracelets just as quickly as we're going to go find that illegal alien. And it has to happen because this has to stop.
It has to.
So I hope Pam Bondi's listening. We love you. Paid. I hope you're paid. And I know she is. We don't have to tell her how to do her job. She knows how to do it better than, but we need to be the cheerleaders, you know, supporting her. So we do. We got a minute and a half, guys. And I just want to at least be able to see if we included one story, the video component. So let's go to Miami-Dade for this one. We have deputies fatally shooting. They're serving a child porn warrant in Miami-Dade.
Let's go, pa' fuera. Pa' fuera, cojones! Let me shoot, hey! Shots fired. Let me shoot your hands,
And they're using SWAT to deliver it. And I'm just going to put the article down. Or bad guys, Christopher Barada. But then we've got his brother, Christian Barada, getting involved. So what happens is that, you know, they're forcing the door open. We got guys coming out, including a woman and a child. And then we got the dude right with the handgun, who's the brother. He gets taken out by by their SWAT, basically. We got another brother in there and stuff. But a lot of drama going on. This is how it goes down. I was impressed that they use SWAT for this particular warrant, because, you know, some agencies have a policy where they do, but not everybody does. Any commentary on that? We got 39 seconds. It's how they do it Miami-Dade style. Rich.
Listen, any opportunity I have to use SWAT to execute a warrant, I usually would do that. I choose that option. It just gives me a heavy weapon, heavily uniformed presence, so no one can say, hey, we didn't know they were the cops, because we're hearing this more and more. So I think it was a good call using the SWAT team. No issue with that.
Yeah, I love it. They had ballistic shields. They had long guns. I mean, they had it. They had it covered. Did you want to weigh in, Frank?
I was going to real quick and say that sometimes we'd go over to Brooklyn into Richie's old neighborhood, and we'd have to have the NYPD ERT set up the perimeter just to protect our backs as we were going through the door on a knock and announce. So I love the use. I think it's that was a great use of it in deployment, and my hat's off to them.
All right. So good job. Good job, guys. We love it. Hey, that was Miami-Dade too. You know, I tell you, between, it just brings back memories. Whenever I went to police week, and I went like, I don't know, 10 years or so in a row, there's between the Miami cops and the New York cops there. You never know what was going to happen. You know, it's just like, it was crazy. But I do want to mention, the Wounded Blue before I get there. Thank you so much, Rich Derpoli and Frank Loveridge, for being on the show. You guys killed it today. I want to mention the Wounded Blue, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt. Hey, our sponsors, Gauls.com, please support them. ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, and Medicare.life, Safer Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. Remember, the Gauls gift card code is Radio 15 for 15% off. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.